Hello, book besties. Welcome to episode 19 of the Books and Mockers podcast. I'm Shai.
I'm Em.
Grab a drink, get cozy, let's talk books.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Yeah. I want to apologize if my intro sounded a little bit off. I got the case of the giggles before the episode started.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it went on for like 10 minutes. It's fine.
But we're fine. We're here. We've started. We're all good.
Yeah, I'm not very confident in that intro, but it's okay.
It's fine. It's all good. Do you know what? Our listeners will probably be used to our intro by now, so I don't think they'll notice. So how are you? How's your week been?
I'm good. My week has been good. I ended up in the works yesterday, which was a fun time for me. I mentioned before, but like I can actually now shop in the works properly, so I'm taking full advantage. And I picked up 4 books this week. Shall I tell you?
Yes, please do.
So I got my favourite Half Night Stand by Christina Loren. I also got The True Love Experiment by Christina Loren. I got Book Lovers by Emily Henry and Happy Place by Emily Henry. I want to touch on Happy Place because in Waterstones, it was £22. And then in the works for a little while, I think it was like £12. It's actually £7.50 now. So if it is available in your works, you may want to pop in there and grab it. It's a hardback.
Yeah, that's hardback, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, you've been busy. I also have been book shopping. Even after my epic book buy last week, I bought more this week because I saw on Instagram that, now I think I've spoken about this on a previous episode, that the Liz Tomford Windy City books, there's 3 of them out at the minute, Mile High, The Right Move and Caught Up. I love these books. Ryan Shea is actually one of my book boyfriends from the Right Move. I've been toying with buying them for ages. They've been sitting in my Amazon basket for quite a while actually. And I saw the other day that somebody posted on Instagram, they had been in the works and they had them for £5 each. Also, Grace Riley, who has a sports series, the first book in her sports series, First Down, had also been released into the works. And I've read the books and I love the Grace Riley books. So I thought I fancied that as well. So I did nip down to the works, managed to get all 4 of the books. I did have to ask the manager to go out the back because I could only find The Right Move on the shelf. So I did go and ask the manager if they had the others. When they checked them, they were classes in transit, which meant they had arrived, but they hadn't put them out yet. So they did very kindly go to the back, find the books for me. So I got the 4 of them. So I'm absolutely ecstatic, especially about the fact that, I mean, Grace Riley had only just announced that the paperbacks were coming out. So I was thrilled to get that one. The Windy City books, they are beautiful covers as well. I really, really like them. So yeah, that was the 4 books I bought this week.
Very exciting. I want to ask, do we think that Christina Loren and Emily Henry are using the same artist?
For the covers?
And hold them up. How similar?
Very similar. And this is actually something, because even the font's quite similar, and the fact that they've got the titles and the author's names in white and then colour, and that, yeah, side on, they're very, very similar.
But the thing is, yeah. I thought at the start that maybe it's like this, but they're by different publishers. So I don't know. It's interesting. I'm sorry. I was just looking at them there and I thought they're different publishers. So are they the same?
I think though the publishers and the cover artists would be different. So they could have different publishers and still have the same cover artists.
True.
It may be somewhere in the book. Maybe after the episode, have a little look through. They might have something somewhere in them that says who the cover artist.
Yeah, I'm going to have to because I'm really interested. You have another important update, exciting update, should I say?
I do. So I am upgrading my Kindle experience. So anybody who's listened to the pod knows that our Kindles are very, very important to us. So essentially, when I go to bed at night, I struggle to read my Kindle in bed. I don't know what it is. I can never seem to get in a comfortable position. So I end up reading on my phone on the Kindle app, which isn't great for a couple of reasons. First of all, I still tend to find I can't get in an overly comfortable position. So I end up shifting around a lot. My hands go numb. It's not a comfortable experience. Secondly, even if my light's dimmed right down, it's still not great on your eyes to be reading on your phone in bed. So I have taken the decision to buy myself a stand and page turner. Now my page turner has arrived this morning. I'm waiting on the stand. It's coming at some point today. I'm very, very excited about this. So I'll be sure to give you an update next week on how it goes. But yeah, I think it's something, again, I've toyed with for quite a while. I've seen it a lot on TikTok and Instagram, people sort of having these setups. I worried that it was a little bit faddy and it wouldn't quite work the way I want it to, but I have tried my page turner. I showed you earlier on FaceTime and it's awesome. It is an absolute game changer. So yeah, I'm really excited to hopefully be able to read more comfortably in bed. And that's the thing with your Kindle, anyone that has one will know it automatically turns off after a while. Even if I fall asleep, it doesn't matter. I don't need to worry about turning off or coming off the app or anything. It will just close down. So yeah, I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited for you. It's gonna change your reading game. I'm a little bit jealous because it looks amazing. And you could actually take the, I said it to you earlier, but you could even take the stand around the house with you and just like attach it into like a side table in your living room, or if you're cooking in the kitchen, you could sort of like prop it up on the counter and stuff. Oh, you're gonna be living the dream.
Well, this thing, because I've bought it primarily for bed because I, you know, that's where I struggle to read the most. But actually, you made a really valid point earlier with the living room, is that quite often I'll be sitting downstairs and I'll have a cup of tea or juice or something, and as much as I can hold it in one hand and drink with the other, I like when I've got a cup of tea, I quite like to sit and hold it, especially if I'm cold, and I can't do that because obviously one of my hands is taken up. So yeah, even simple little things like that you don't really think of, it could be a complete game changer. And also in my office, kind of where recording here, I do have my chair that I like to sit and read in. Again, my desk just next to it. It would be ideal if I could just clip it on there and again, yeah, be hands-free. So yeah, I'm excited for it. And yeah, I think the bed's gonna be the major, you know, game changer for me. But yeah, I'll
Did
definitely
you
try
get
it
it
around the
from
house.
Amazon?
I did both of them on Amazon. I think the page turner was around 25-ish pounds. And my stand, it's one of the ones that you kind of twist on and then it's got the arm that moves. So it's not just static. You can sort of move it to where you want it. I want to say that was around 15-ish pounds. I think between
Okay.
the kind of 40-ish. So yeah. So I mean it's not the cheapest setup. And I think if it's not something that you'll use, because as I say, I've looked at them for a while, but I didn't really see how it would overly fit into my life. But now, because I'm seeing such an issue with reading in bed, I can see, you know, where it's going to fit in. So I think because it's not super cheap, maybe make sure that you're going to have a use for it before you make the purchase. But yeah, the pair of them were about £40.
It's exciting. Talking of Kindles, I've seen everyone obviously on TikTok decorating their Kindle, and I've been extremely jealous because for some reason, right? So I got my Kindle before they were trendy, and so when I purchased my Kindle and like my accessories, decorating the Kindle wasn't a thing. So I stupidly just got like a black Kindle case, and so I can't put stickers at the back of it. So yesterday I caved and I purchased a brand new pop socket, which I'm really excited about. It's really cute. It's like glass with daisies all over it. And I got a clear case and I found this amazing, amazing seller on Etsy. She has some really, really cute Kindle stickers, and she also has Kindle inserts. So you can sort of put it in the background and then put your Kindle stickers over the top. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. The only downside is I think she's from Jersey. And so they won't be coming until between the 6th of March to the 12th of March, which is upsetting because my case and stuff comes within the next week, and I'm just gonna have to sit there and look at them and not do anything with them.
What I would say, first of all, super exciting. I do have stickers in my Kindle and I absolutely love it. But I was a bit late to the game. I only sort of bought it last year. What I would say with Etsy, and this is just the experience that I've had, quite a lot of times the estimates they give for delivery, usually things come a little bit quicker, even just a couple of days. So I'll keep my fingers crossed that they do come early for you. But that's so exciting. And I
Yeah.
think so, this is something that Etsy is amazing for this, the stickers you can get on there. If you're in the UK, there are less sorts of sellers that have book specific ones. Most of those sellers are in the US. I have ordered from the US before on Etsy for stickers, and I think they took maybe like 10 days, 2 weeks. So if you are prepared to wait, absolutely, you can get sort of a lot of book related stickers. But the UK ones are gorgeous as well. I mean, I've seen the ones that you've purchased. They are gorgeous. I love them. I do.
Yeah. And at first I was toying with the idea of getting a pack of stickers, but you said, all of my stickers mean something to me. And I thought it's true. Like if I look at them, I want them to mean something. So every single sticker has my, I think my favorite one is I've got one that says my emotional support Kindle, and it's me. Like that is, it's, yeah, that is what my Kindle is to me. So.
Yeah, I agree. I do like the fact that my stickers were chosen because they did mean something to me. And yes, you do pay a bit more for them. You can get a pack for a few pounds on Amazon, Etsy, eBay, which, if you are just looking for some stickers, just, absolutely fine. I would always go with those. But for me, I do like them to mean something. And I think that is maybe because our Kindles do mean a lot to us. But I think if it is something that you have and you use, but you don't have sort of any deep connection to it, then yeah,
And I think
absolutely.
I am so happy that I waited because I know when we first spoke about it last year, sorry, this is the big conversation for Kindle decoration, but we'll go with it. I said that I wanted to do a fourth wing themed Kindle. I'm actually quite happy that I haven't done that because I am quite girly. I have a lot of pink things, and obviously with fourth wing, a lot of the stickers were black and gold, and they were stunning. But I'm so happy that I've waited and I've picked stickers that would more fit into my day to day, like my Stanley cup and my blankets, and it's just, oh, I can't wait to get cozy and read.
You're a very aesthetic person. You like things to match. You like things to sort of flow. And it would have shocked me if you'd done anything different with your Kindle.
Yeah. We don't have any author updates, do we?
No, not as far as I'm aware. I've not seen anything major this week. We do have some books coming out in the next few weeks. That's probably an update for next week when things are getting a little bit closer. But no, shall we dive into our topic for this week? Which is a bit of an interesting one, actually.
It is. So we are going to be talking about how books, specifically romance and romantasy, have shifted women's stat or readers' standards as to what they will be looking for in a significant other.
Yeah, so sort of expectations, both I think in a partner and in a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think for me, I mean, obviously we've talked about book boyfriends before. We obviously did sort of our top seven for our Valentine's Day special. I think it's really interesting because the men that are written in books, I think because you have so many different tropes, so you've got your billionaire romance, your sports romance, your small town romance, all these different ones. I think it has shifted people's expectations of one, the type of person they want, as in what job they do. And I'm not saying they're going for a billionaire or they're going for an athlete, but they are maybe looking for something a little bit more specific than they had before. I think also people are looking for the gentleman, because that seems to have really been not brought back, because I don't think it ever went away, but I think it's maybe been brought back to the forefront a little bit, of pulling out a lady's chair at the dining table and holding a door open. And then I think you also have the other side of things where you have like the mafia romance where you've got the bad boy. And I just think it's just a really interesting subject.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about how it could have potentially changed what people are looking for in their significant other, I didn't really go down the career route. I thought more of like what you expect your partner to do for you in terms of grand gestures. So you see a lot of TikToks where people like when he says, I love you, but and then it has the character, and we've been guilty of posting these, but then the character says this massive paragraph about the love that they have, and it's all poetic. I think that more so. I think almost it makes whatever your significant other does for you, it pales in comparison to what you are reading about and what the characters are doing and saying. And I think I can see the effect. Luckily, I was married when I really, really got into reading, but I can see how if you are in the dating world and you haven't found your person yet, how these books, it's almost an unfair expectation to put on men and women because these characters are pulled from the best part of an author's brain. Of course, they're going to be perfect. Of course, they're going to say the right things at all the right times. So I can see how it's making it difficult for people dating now.
I just want to clarify as well. I was not saying that people just want to go and pick up like billionaires and athletes. Because I said it and thought, oh wow, this is not coming out right. That was not where I was going to talk. I just meant with the different sorts of tropes, I think people are almost, because I think when, for example, you use sports romance, because sports romance is like a huge thing for me. I think it almost sets them aside as kind of a type of person. Billionaires, different type of person. Mafia men, different, different type of people. And it's not just about their jobs. I think it's just sort of the collection, of guys. But again, that could be, down to the authors and how they write them. But you're right. I think they, well, I mean, there's always this thing as well about, fictional men are so good because they're men written by women, because a lot of them are. And I think you're right, we're picking sort of the best parts of a man and putting them into one. On saying that, fictional men are not perfect. They do have their flaws, but I would say their flaws maybe aren't overly realistic. And I think that's possibly if you are in the dating world, I mean, neither of us are, we're both married, but I think if you are a reader, to the extent that we are, if I was single and I was about to start stepping into that dating pool, I could struggle with finding someone because I think you're always trying to seek that perfection. And there's the question of, does it exist? Are there men out there who live up to these fictional expectations?
No, and I
Oh,
just
because they're fictional,
because
they're
they're
made up.
fictional. Yeah, they're not real. And you're right. They are, even though they do have their flaws, I think what makes fictional men so perfect is how the author will allow those characters to handle those difficult situations that you may not actually see in real life. Like, sure, your significant other might run after you when you storm out of the house in a huff, but if you've annoyed him just as much as he's annoyed you, it's not likely. So you're gonna have to get in the car and take a long drive alone. Like, it shifts reality for you, I think.
Yeah, I think as well, one question that I wanted to ask was, do you think women potentially behave slightly differently now in the sort of dating world if you are a reader?
Yeah, I think they almost feel, no offense, this isn't meant in a mean way, but entitled to some of the treatment or the traits that are displayed within a fictional character. It's like on the third date, expecting them to profess love, and even down to like the tropes, the whole insta love trope. I feel as though I've seen it in play out in real life, but like if they don't see an instant spark or they don't fall in love with them instantly, it's written off because in some of their favorite books, that's how it's been. And if it's not like that, then it's not going to be perfect and it's not right for you. I think it shifts.
Yeah, I think as well, I've seen so many Instagram posts, TikTok posts where women are saying, I'll only fall in love when they act like, XYZ, whoever their favorite book boyfriend is. And you just think you're putting such high expectations, not only on a potential partner, but also on yourself. Because are you potentially closing yourself off from an amazing relationship because they don't act like Rhett Eaton? They're not acting like Zayden Ryerson. And I think it's in a way slightly scary because you think, as I say, you could be missing out on an incredible relationship because you're holding out for something that potentially could never come along.
I mean, it won't. I think, like we said, I think we mentioned it just now, but they have the these authors have taken all of the best parts of men, saying the right things, doing the right things, action, chemistry. They've taken all of the best parts of men and put them into one. And I think it's so polished and perfectly presented in books. And I know that we've had conversations about this separately, but relationships aren't like that. Communication isn't perfect right off the jump. The way that you handle conflicts and situations aren't going to be perfect right off the jump because you're two separate people coming together. I think the part that's missed out in a lot of these books is the communication that you have to have. Like, hey, I don't like the way you handled that. Can we have a conversation about it? Or I don't like it when you say things like this. Could you maybe just address things a little bit differently? They don't address that in books. And so when you go into the relationship at the start, because you're seeing basically the end result of what I would say is years of marriage and communication and figuring it out happens within 2 weeks. Suddenly you think that that's what you're going to walk into, and you're not. You're just
Yeah,
not.
absolutely. I think taking even out the aspects of either, a partner, male, female, I think the relationship expectations are so unrealistic because you're right, a relationship takes work, communication, it takes work. Even the way you communicate at the beginning of a relationship will be so different to how you are a year, 5 years, 10 years down the line. And I think you're right, that's not shown in books because, again, you read to escape. You're not going to read about the realities of life. Like you're dealing with that every day. But I think one thing where books do create an unrealistic expectation, as you say, that in 6 weeks you're going to be in love, living together, happily ever after. It's unlikely. I'm not saying it never happens, but I think it's unlikely. I think men are very complex creatures, women are very complex creatures, and it does take work. It really does.
Yeah, and I think for people that are in relationships and maybe reading, because I think it's important to address them as well, because I think you and I could say that we're guilty of this too, is that especially with an epilogue and they've been together and it's perfect and they don't seem to have any issues, or there are no bumps in the road along the way. I think it's important to remember again that this is a book, this isn't real life, and marriages and relationships, they take work, and it is a lot of work, and it is two people coming together and deciding that they're going to figure it out and stick through it no matter what, even when there are flaws and faults presented in the other person or yourself. And I think it can make you question your relationship a little bit. Not saying that I have or you have, but if you're married and you're reading these books also and you get to the epilogue, it can make you question your relationship a little bit as to, like, well, how come they're so okay and all of these characters seem to be fine and okay? I think it's important to remember that it doesn't end. The journey doesn't end.
Yeah, I think as well, it's some of the scenarios that happen in books. In real life, one of you would probably walk away because, the situations make the relationship untenable. And that's okay. If you're in a relationship with someone and something happens and one of you or both of you decide, no, we don't want to continue, we're going to walk away, that's all right. And this is what I mean about relationship expectations. I think sometimes things happen in books and you think, well, they can get through it, so we can get through it. And it's a great mindset to have in that we're going to work to try and get through it, but you have to remember it's a book. It's easy to write down, okay, well, they cheated or this happened, that happened, whatever. But we're going to work through it and move past it. It's easy to write that. It's not easy to live it. And I think that's where my concern with kind of relationship expectations would be because we're not characters in books.
Yeah, but I would also say on the flip side, know yourself, because there are some people who would be okay with cheating. And I think we get so attached to these characters that we almost try and mirror what they're doing or how they would feel about things. Don't lose sight of what's okay and what is acceptable to you. In the case of, like, a love triangle, just for an example, if the character makes a decision to choose someone else because something has happened with the other person, and at the start of the book you thought, oh, I actually don't think I would be too affected by that, don't lose sight of you because you're so lost in a fictional world. I think it
Oh,
sort of
one.
follows along from what you're saying also, in that, yes, yeah, stick to you and what feels right. Don't follow along.
100%. And that's the thing. Yeah, absolutely. On the flip side, just because they're doing it in the book and you couldn't do it, that's okay. But on the other side, if they're not doing it in the book, but you could do it, that's fine as well. Just, you're right, be true to yourself. Whatever you feel and however you behave and you act, that's up to you. And that's your real life. What I would say is, as you say, don't lose yourself in a fictional world because that's what it is. It's fiction. It's not real. It's not real life. And I think it's so important as well to communicate with your partner, especially if you're reading, I think, because I mean, you and I, we have so many conversations about different books, fictional boyfriends say, oh, we love this, we love that. We also, though, have to communicate to our husbands that just because we in an ideal world would love this, we're not suddenly expecting them to change and behave in a certain way because we've had a conversation and said, well, we would love that. So you have to be very, very careful that you're not bringing your fictional life and I'm talking all the books you're reading, into your real life and potentially setting unrealistic expectations in your relationship and with your partner.
Because I think also we do it all the time. We get on FaceTime after we've read a book and we're like, oh my God, I love him. He said this and he done this. And when we get off the phone, you kind of have to turn around and say, I love you too. Like, I understand that it's a book, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to run off to try and find this character. So I think also if you are in a relationship currently, just being mindful of the pressure that you're putting on your partner, or you could unintentionally be putting on your partner through what you're reading. And
I mean, I think the thing is that, I mean, you and I, we read a lot. You know, I mean,
yeah.
we, let's face it, if we're not working or we're not kind of, you know, walking dogs or, you know, spend time with our partners, like we're reading. Our spare time is reading or doing the pod or, you know, preparing for the pod and things. I think when reading becomes such a big part of your life, and I know that in the BookTok and Bookstagram communities, reading is such a huge part of their lives. We do have to remember that our partner's still there. We do have to remember that we are in this real life with that person. And, you know, we do, you're right, you do have to sort of reassure them that, you know, you're still there for them. You're still here for our relationship. But I definitely think that reading, especially I think now with social media and, you know, all the BookTok and Bookstagram communities, which I love, but there is so much floating about of book boyfriends and insta love and, you know, all these sorts of expectations. And that was really why, you know, we wanted to discuss this.
Yeah, because we've seen over the last few years, obviously, reading has become so popular. It's really made a comeback. It has become trendy, and like almost a personality trait is to be a reader now. And I think with that, you're going to see a massive shift in the dating world and how people are dating and what they're doing. And I think, oh, I don't know if you've ever seen them on TikTok, but it's like male readers. And they do like the romanticizing your life dating. And it's like, you know, when you see her in the bookstore and you like reach up to grab her book for her, and like you're really seeing a shift in. I think we went through a phase where it was trendy to be independent and not want to depend on anyone and be single and that sort of thing. And we're seeing, I think people are calling it the soft girl era, where people want to be looked after and worshipped. And I think a massive part of that has potentially come from the reading movement and people picking up on things and changing the way that they view dating and stuff.
Well, definitely, because as we say, a lot of the, you know, romance are written by women. So it's what women want. And I think you're right. I mean, I think the reading movement, it's almost become a bit of a lifestyle,
It is.
you know, where you're reading. I mean, even just the fact that we talk about, you know, decorating our Kindle, getting my Kindle set up so that when I go to bed, my Kindle's still front and foremost. My, you know, my books are still, you know, going to be there. And I think it's also changed the landscape where like e-readings come in as well, because we are, I suppose we have to sort of touch on this as well, is the sexual expectations. Because it used to be a case of when you had to buy a physical book, the taboo books, okay, I mean, yeah, you would still maybe buy them, but you would buy them online and then you would kind of hide away in your house. Like you would never be just on the bus or, you know, sitting in a park reading some sort of like smutty book. Now with Kindle and other e-readers, you're able to do this in front of people but still having that sort of shield up. And I think because sort of smutty books are so much more popular now, and so many more people are, you know, reading them sort of out loud, as in, you know, with the e-reader, I don't mean actually physically out loud, but just, you know, not kind of having to hide away with them anymore, I do question like, has there been a shift in sexual expectation? Because, you know, the sex in these books, it's always perfect. They're always having multiple orgasms. It's, you know, you do sort of question again, where's the reality versus the expectation?
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to your beginning part about what you said about being able to read and no one know what you're reading. I've actually just looked down at my desk, and for example, I think Happy Place has some spicy scenes in it. The way that covers are now, you would never ever know if a book is smutty. Like, I actually feel quite sorry for parents walking into a bookstore and picking up a book and not knowing what you're picking up, because I mean, I'll show you Em. Doesn't look like it's gonna have very many scenes in it, does it, Happy Place? Like, you Yeah, you're right. It completely changes what people are comfortable going and buying.
Absolutely. Actually, I never really thought about the cover aspect, but you're right. And one or two books actually, but one series, which is a perfect example for me, is Icebreaker and
Yes.
Wildfire. Now, Icebreaker, to look at, it looks like a child's book.
It
It
does.
genuinely looks like a child's book because it's cartoon. It's sort of, it's got Nate and Stassi on the front, which, you've got the hockey player, you've got the figure skater. It looks like a really cute book. Then you delve into it. Now, if I had a child and they were, say, 13, 14 years old, they see this book, it looks really cute. Yeah,
On
let's time it
TikTok.
on TikTok. Absolutely. Then they get to the Uber scene, they get to Halloween. They're reading Wildfire. There's the Night of the Storm. Absolutely not. You
No.
do not want your children reading this.
No, you don't.
So yeah, actually, I didn't think of sort of the discreet covers because that's obviously a massive thing that, people are happy to go and buy. I mean, to be fair, I never really think, I mean, I walk into the works, I buy these books. It never actually crosses my mind that when I'm taking them to the counter, these people may have an inkling of what they contain.
Right.
It's not something I really think of. I'm not the least bit ashamed of what I read at all. But absolutely, you're right. I mean, covers are a big thing with the discreet covers now, but I still just think it's reality versus expectations, just massive, absolutely massive. And I think the divide is definitely there.
Yeah, and I think we touched on this with Addie Hazelwood in that she's phenomenal at not making a scene perfect, but it still is amazing. Not a lot of authors do that. And I think a lot of authors, well, there'll be no fumbling, there'll be no awkwardness, there'll be no slip ups. And again, not real life, like a relationship that is not real.
There's expectations on men and women to pr potentially perform a certain way or behave a certain way, even maybe sound a certain way. And I just think it's difficult to have that sort of reality expectation divide.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. So, I guess in conclusion, books have potentially changed the way that people are dating now. We can't say for sure because we're not on the dating scene.
The reason that we decided to sort of discuss this was because of what we've seen on TikTok and Instagram. We seem to be seeing more and more people who appear to be single and, making quite bold statements about, oh, I'm not going to settle until I find X character. So, I mean, I think, yeah, potentially there's change between reality and expectation, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's us wrapping up for this week, guys. Thank you for listening.
Don't forget to come over to Instagram and TikTok at Books and Mockers Pod. And yeah, I mean, please send us a DM. Are you single? Are you dating? Are you married? Do you feel that reading has changed how you feel about expectations and reality? Let us know. But hope you have a great week and we will see you next time.
Yep, and also if you are listening but you're not following, please do hit the follow button because we do really appreciate it. But we'll speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.